from SLB Radio in Pittsburgh, Crossing Fences. African-American boys and young men creating oral history showcasing the lives and accomplishments of local African-American men.
I grew up here in Homestead and grew up in the steel mill days, so a lot of steel mills.
Flesh and blood principalities, battle over spiritual policies, thinking that the one is going to follow.
We were responsible for our community. You know, we say we need help, but we got to learn how to help ourselves.
A lot of people who are pioneers and icons who got us to where we are today because they used their brains. If they used their fists, we would never have heard about them.
From anesthesiologists to barbershop owners, entrepreneurs to engineers, and coaches to deacons, over 170 men have been interviewed. Today, let's hear from Jeff Henson, age 48 at the time of this interview.
Nice childhood, a lot of friends. I'm from a little street called Bright Ridge, up off of Brighton Road, up there by the bakery. Being that my mother worked up Northview, I met Barty and them like 77, 78. We all was, you know, kids. So I started hanging out with them mostly every day. Running through the streets, this and that, playing. I went to John Morrow, from John Morrow to Columbus, to Oliver for like 2.5 years. Then I was cutting up, they sent me to Lecce. That's where I really graduated from. We were just basic young brothers like y'all, playing sports, running around, chasing girls, talking stuff, thinking you know it all. When I went to Lecce, it was, at that time, every school in the city sending their kids to Lecce, the cut-ups. My mom went back to school, got her degree, and she was able to revitalize the neighborhood. Now, she passed in 99, and even when she passed, they had a nice big article on her in the paper, and I sat back and saw what education could do for you. Here's a lady that met with the president at the time, was George Bush, the first George Bush. She then met with Senator John Hines when he was alive, but she did it all with just sense, with the knowledge, education. My grandparents, on my mom's side, live right down the street. I'm the oldest grandkid, me and my sister. She's a year and a half younger than me. So we was able to see grandma and grand, you know, like my grandma just passed, what, 2 years ago, when she was, what, 89. Long time, she done buried 4 kids at that time, but she was the overseer. The grandma would be the one to look out the whole family. My friend's dad owned a little garbage company. We would work there for the summers, like 84, I was 16, and even before then. So that was initially my first job. Black man had a couple stops, you know, had the old pickup truck with the stuff on the sides, and we go and get in restaurants that he had contracts with. So he taught me a lot. That's a mentor, because he was one man that struggled, had 4 sons. His wife had passed. I seen how they struggled, but he kept the family together. He was a prideful man. He didn't play no drugs, none of that. We had these Martin Luther King tapes. As an older person, I understand where he's coming from now. Sometimes we would cut school. He'd come home, he'd see us, tell him something. And one time he said, y'all think I'm stupid? He said, all y'all doing is hurting yourself. I got mine. That's his philosophy I took. Life is the greatest teacher. You will find out. The choices you make will be what you better make the right one. I had a son as a young boy. I had a son when I was 17. I was a kid with a kid. Then I had 2 more daughters later when I was in my 30s. But my vision by then was a whole lot different. I had more sense. I was more of a man instead of a kid. I went to jail when I was 26 for 3 years, 26, 27, 28. I'm 48. So when I left, I told this one CO, this white guy, and he was like, yeah, I can't wait till you violate. And I was like, once you open the door, I'll never be back. And I ain't been back. If it ain't about my kids, I ain't going back. They ain't playing. They got room for all of us. The jail I was at, one jail I could say was what we call gladiator school. It was like you had to be aware of your surroundings at all time, who you with. Then as your level dropped, as time goes on, your level may drop. As long as you don't get no trouble, you can get to a better jail where it ain't all you on guard full time. The due time is just boring. You wasting time. So I went in, came out, I'm cool. Ain't been back. The saddest part about being in jail was my mom would come see me and I'm handcuffed, man. I mean, that's just embarrassing. I couldn't even look her in the face. I don't want my daughters to come see me locked up. You got to keep your head up. You got to stay focused. I mean, like I said, from when I came home from jail, I was focused. Like, hey, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Forget this, forget that. Listen to your parents, listen to your teachers. Mentor people that's positive, people that has been there, is telling you something. This is how I teach my daughters. You do right now what I tell y'all, as far as to stay in school, keep on the path they on, you can have anything you want later on in life. You sacrifice right now to be greater later.
This oral history was collected by youth interviewers Dominic Ross, Nike Goodwine, and Lewis Ross. Crossing Fences is made possible by the Heinz Endowments and was produced by SLB Radio Productions. Learn more at crossingfences.org.